We left off last week. We were discussing the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Now, what do you do when you have two kitei edim? You have two groups of edim that are contradicting each other. So there's no question that about this case per se, we're going to have to throw everybody out. Trey, finish basing, calls it a stalemate. But the question is, what about in the future? Do we say that these edim are treated as edim ksheirim? Each set is independently kosher. Or do we say, no, since each one is a suffix, whether they're lying or not, so we have to throw both of them out in Kan Lahaba. So that was Machlekes Samaroyim. So Rav Huna said that Zubov b'fnatzmo me'idav, Zubov b'fnatzmo, according to Rav Huna, each one is independently acceptable. And according to Rav Chisda, Rabbi Sadi Shach Velamli, you can't accept everybody, you have to throw all of them out. So we left off the shiur last week trying to understand what exactly was in the Kutsa Machlekes, what was the lumdus that they were arguing about. So the Rashbam in Bavavas in the third parak suggested that the Nekudas HaMachlokes is really as follows. You have really two different principles that we've been talking about in the past, which are coming into conflict with one another. On the one hand, the Eidim have a Cheskes Kasher, so the Chazaka Mekara, the status quo of the Eidim is that they're Kasher, and for the last 20 years they've been Kasher. So the Chazaka Mekara is pointing in the direction of continuing them being Kasher. On the other hand, you want to make them kosher and thereby be motzi mamon. How can it be motzi mamon? Be suffering? It's only a chazaka. You can't use rov, can't use chazaka, you can't use these principles to be motzi mamon. So that seems to be the root of the issue. According to Rav Huna, we could use chazaka meikar, and according to Rav Chisda, we run into a brick wall because we're trying to use it to be motzi mamon. So we said at the end of the show last week, even Rav Huna doesn't really hold that chazaka meikar can be motzi mamon. This is a pre-case, this is a pre-fax. Just like the Rambam said, as the Schweitzer said in other contexts, that when you're trying to establish the facts before the case itself, so that maybe you can use Rov, maybe you can use Chazok, maybe you can use Erechot, all the different things that usually fail in the realm of Dini Mamonis, maybe it would be acceptable as long as we're not being down on the case per se. We're not trying to figure out whether they broke the window, whether we sold the animal. We're trying to figure out some of the prerequisites to the case, such as the Kashas, the Eidim, maybe that would be okay to use Chazok. So according to the Rashbam, the issue that the Amoraim were arguing about really revolved around how do you resolve these two principles, the principle of Chazaka Mekara in contrast to the principle of Mukhsak Mamamun. So other Rishonim have a different twist on the Gemara entirely. So the Rimagash, was a Talmud Muvak of the Rif. The Rambam was considered himself to be a Talmud of the Rimagash. No, he wasn't really a Talmud. The Rambam's father was a Talmud of the Rimagash. So the Rambam, the way the years line up, the Rambam maybe saw the Rimagash when he was a little boy. There's a chassidish story about the Rambam. I don't know whether you could take it with a grain of salt or not. But the Rambam writes that, Rambam is told over a legend, and apparently the Rambam said that all his Torah he received was because his father took him as a little boy to get a bracha from the Rimagash. So again, I don't know if it's true or not, but the part of the story that is definitely true is that the Rambam did consider the Rimagash to be his Rebbe, because all the Torah that he got from his father was directly from the Rimagash. The Rimagash wrote a parish of philosophers and Shavuos, so we have a parish of other things also. So the Rimagash is a different pshat in the Gemara. The Rimagash says that the reason why Rav Chisda holds that the Eidim are not acceptable, it's nothing to do with Cheskes Mamon, Chazaka Mekara is a different story. Says the Rimagash, this is the issue of a tie to the Sasrei. This runs into a problem, and how can Beis Din invoke a psak and look straight in the face at both sets of Eidim and say, Kat A, the first group of Eidim are kosher, and Kat B, the second group of Eidim are kosher also. It's an impossible psak. How could both sets be kosher? Somebody's lying here. One of the groups are lying. So the Rimagash holds that was the problem that Rav Chisda was addressing. That you can say Chazaka Meikar from today to tomorrow, but Chazaka Meikar can't work, but Mokum tied to disaster. How could you possibly pass it to mutually exclusive psalm, two contradictory psalm? If that's the case, then Rav Huna seems to disagree with that. So Rav Huna seems to hold that you can pass it to contradictory psalm as long as you have a Chazaka Meikar. So that already touches on something that we spoke about in the past. We already saw Rishonim, Acharonim. That was already Shmaitzes, Rabbi Kivegas, already the Gedolei Acharonim raised that question. Can you pass get a tie to the Sasrei based on Chazaka Meikara? Is it possible to invoke the principle of status quo, the principle of Chazaka Meikara, and say, based on Chazaka Meikara, you are Tahar, and based on Chazaka Meikara, you are Tahar, even though it's impossible for both of you to be Tahar? That was the thesis we spoke about a few weeks ago. The Sug of Shnei Shvilim. The Gemara says that if you have two pathways, two highways, and one of them is Tamer, we know for a fact there's a mace buried under one of them, we just don't remember which one. Reuben walks on Highway B, and Shimon walks on, Reuben walks on Highway A, and Shimon walks on Highway B, and now they come to Beis Din, so they want to know, are we Tamer or are we Tamer? So Tosfos writes that Min HaTorah, they're both Tamer. Because Min HaTorah, Reuben has a Chazaka Meikara, and Minata or Shimon has a chazaka bekara. So Tosis says, it's attached to the Sasri, it's a contradiction. So what? Minatara, that's okay. Minatara, you follow chazaka, even in the situation of a contradiction. So we said, what's the beer in Tosis? So we said from the Gedolei Charonim several weeks ago that chazaka bekara is not a bira. Chazaka bekara is not proving any facts. We're not proving that he's tahor. We're not proving that he's tahor. We're just saying that, the Torah gives us a right to make believe that you're Torah. It's a dinan hoga, it's not a biror. So when it's a biror, how can you have two contradictory mevarim? How can I be mevarer that X is true and Y is true, if X and Y contradict each other? But if chazaka meikara is not a biror, chazaka meikara is what we call a dinan hoga. It's just a chiddush haTorah that you follow it, even though you don't really know what the facts are. So then, big deal, you know. If you hold the chazaka meikara is just a dinan haga, the Torah is just saying be noyeg why X and Y contradict. So what? Who cares? Well, it doesn't matter. We're not being varied anything anyway. So that which we said from the Gedolei Acharonim that the longest of chazaka meikara is a dinan haga, and therefore it's subject to tied to the sasre, according to the Rimagash, that's machlekes amorayim. That's goof for the machlekes to Rav Huna Rav Chisda. The Rav Huna says we could pass in both sets of eidim akosher. Even though it's a tie to disaster, that doesn't really bother us. And according to Rav Chisda, you can't do that. Because according to Rav Chisda, once you have a tie to disaster, that trumps everything. It's a Taraz Bira Chazaka, and you can't work with Mokham tie to disaster. So go upon him. We have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim. What exactly is the Nekudas and Machlekes? What did Rav Huna say, and what did Rav Chisda disagree with? So according to the Rashbam, it's an issue of Chazaka Meikara against the Cheskes Mamon. According to the Rimagash, it's an issue of Chazaka Meikara against the Tata Nisasri. So there are two different ways of understanding the Gemara. There is a third approach in the Rishonim that appears in the Ritva. The Ritva says that neither Pshat is right, neither the Rashbam is right, nor the Rimagash is right, that we totally misunderstood what Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda said that you can't accept the Eidim. You know why you can't accept the Eidim? So the Ritva says, Minatara you can accept the Eidim. Minatara, each set of Eidim akash. They have a chazaka meikara. They have a chazaka meikara. So what's the problem? Says the Ritva. It's mid the rabbanon. It's a problem. The whole Rav Chisda was only mid the rabbanon. It doesn't look right. It's chazas pas neshik. It's not accepting Eidim. They have two strikes against them. The odds are they're probably lying. These guys are shakran. How can you run a base? How can you run a judicial system when the Eidim walk the base and you're pretty convinced that they're probably lying? Even though minatora you can pull a kunz, that's a chazaka meikara with a lumbus with a dinan haga. We'll give you a razzle dazzle sheshmaisis to explain why the edim akasha. But afal bichelach, I mean the rabban is past it. I mean you have an edim coming like this. So the Ritva says, if you look at the lashon of Rav Chisda, so it'll be meduyik what I'm saying. When Rav Huna says zubah b'fnei atzu meida, zubah b'fnei atzu meida, Rav Huna says that each set of edim can testify. What is Rav Chisda's response to Rav Huna? So Rav Chisda says, "Bahadei sadei shachri lamali." What do I need liars for? "Bahadei sadei shachri lamali." What do I need liars to come to Beis Din? So says the Ritva, what kind of response is that? It's a dramatic response. It's like a hysteria. What do you mean, God? He's a liar. What is it you say? The possibly aid is finished. Man, leave out all the excitement. Leave out all the drama. Just say the puzzle's finished. So the Ritva says, because they're not really puzzle. And even Rav Chisda agrees they're not really puzzle. Rav Chisda spoke in such a strong lashon. Bahadei sadei shachri lamali, because just to highlight that, what do I need it for? Bahadei sadei shachri lamali means what do I need it for? What do I mid the rabbanon? Why do I have to accept a shvach aid? Get normal aid. What do I need aid them? There's a 50% chance that they're lying. So even Munach in the words of Rav Chisda, Bahadei sadei shachri lamali is this understanding that's only upsul mid the rabbanon. Mid that Torah, Rav Huna is 100% right. So now we have three different pshatim in the Rishonim. What exactly is the Nekudas of Machlekes? Is the Nekudas of Machlekes on the level of Deraisa? What do you do when you have clashes between Chazaka Meikara and Muchsuk Amamu? Is the Machlekes on the level of Deraisa like the Rimagash? What do you do when you have a Chazaka Meikara against the Tati Nisasri? Or, there's no Machlekes Deraisa. With Deraisa, everyone agrees that the Eidim are good. With the Rabbanan, the Shad, should we make this Hadis Adi Shachalam, the Takonas Acham, or not? The three different Biurim in the Rishonim. But even within the Pashtus, the way most of the Rishonim probably assumed against the Ritva, that at least according to Rav Chisda, it's absul d'oraisa, that when you have trei u'trei, so now I really don't know what to do. So there's a 50% chance that the Eidim will come in the next case, a really puzzle. So we have to puzzle the Eidim. We cannot accept the Eidim in a Torah. Not accepting this Ritva. There's a further shaila in the Rishonim. What do you mean you can't accept these Eidim? According to Chizda, you have two Eidim who contradict the two Eidim. So Bezin declares to Selme, and they say, each one of you, we're writing you down in our ledgers, none of you are going to ever come back to Bezin anymore. That's it, finished. You're a Suffolk Shmashakrit, and you're a Suffolk Shakrit, and you're a Suffolk Shakrit, and you're a Suffolk, everyone's a Suffolk Shakrit. So comes Tysus and raises a question. Tysus goes 2 days about just how possible are these Eidim in Kamahama? Just how bad are they? Are they possible to a Suffolk? But the possible teres vaday. Just how much? What did we write down in the Beis Din's books about Reuben and Shimon, about Levi and Yehuda? Did we write down these guys are shakranim gemurim? We the possible liedus the other void but teres vaday. Or do we say no? The possible teres sofek. Again, 99% of the time, my nafkamina, whether the possible teres sofek, the possible teres vaday. At the end of the day, even an aid is possible teres sofek can't come into Beis Din. So what do I care? Alumnus, whether we said they may be puzzled or we said they're for certain puzzled. At the end of the day, they can't testify. So Tosfos has 2 days and says, no, Chapsin Afkamin as follows. Just how bad are they? If you hold that they're only puzzled to Torah Suffolk, then we may use them in the following case. What would the din be? If we have a new din Torah. So again, we have two different din Torahs. Din Torah number one was Reuben and Shimon contradicted Levi and Yehuda. So each one of them we wrote down, no good. Each one is a Suffolk, Eidim, Kalahama. Then you have a second din Torah a year later. We have two new Eidim coming. Eidim who are kosher, 100%. They weren't involved in the first case. New Eidim come in, and they say that David broke Moshe's window. The new people keep the Reuben Shimon's out of here. David broke Moshe's window. And now, we're about to take the bunny away from David. But wait a second, two other Eidim walk in and say, no, it's not true, we were there and David didn't break Moshe's window. Who are these two new Eidim? Wait a second, we look at them, we've seen you guys around before. Oh, we checked their records. You were the guys who were here a year ago who were involved in a tray. You were the guys who we declared to be possible a year ago. What's the din? So comes Tais and says, a chapsin afkamina. If you hold that this set of Eidim who we disqualified a year ago, we paskin b'toros vaday apsulim, they're mamish bankrupts, they're murderers, they're shakvanim, we gave them a psul, we run them on the red list, we don't want to see them anymore, they're possible b'toros vaday. So when they walk the base, we show them the door right out. We have nothing to do with them. Their Eidus is gorish, Eidus is not chavachot, not teifes. Everything that they say to us, it's dvar b'teilim, they're possible the Eidus b'toros vaday. So what's going to be the outcome of the new din Torah? So David's going to have to pay for the window that he broke. Because we only have one set of kosher Eidim to go on. David broke Moshe's window. We know that for a fact. We have two kosher Eidim. We have two guys who are contradicting them. These two, who are these guys? These guys are Rishon. These guys are bankrupt. These guys are Shekronim. We're not even Misyaches to them. So that's if you hold that the Eidim are possible Torah's Vahadah. But if you hold that the Eidim that we disqualified a year ago are not possible Torah's Vahadah, they're only possible Torah's Sofek. So then wait a second, hold on. If these two Eidim from last year come in and say David broke Moshe's window, we're not going to accept them, we're not going to be Mitzvah Mami Suffolk. But they're only Suffolk Psulim. So if they're only Suffolk Psulim, they can create a latest of Suffolk, and now they can be Suffolk, take on the other set of Eidim, and now we're going to have to declare David's Potter, Hamas Bechmel Avaraya. Prove to me that David broke Moshe's window. But you have two Eidim who say that David broke Moshe's window, but you have two other Eidim who say he didn't break his window. Two other Eidim, but they're possible. Well, they're not really possible. They're only possible to turn Suffolk. So Tosfos says that if you hold that the two Eidim who are disqualified based on a tray of tray are only possible to Torah Suffolk, in effect, says Tosfos, they're not going to work lahaitzi mamon, mikan lahava, but they are going to work lahachzik mamon. They're going to be acceptable to hold on to money because we never really declared that they're possible. So Tosfos has a Suffolk. What's the din according to Rav Chisda? Whenever you have a tray of tray, so minat Torah, we have to disqualify the Eidim. Not like the ritual. Minat Torah, Tosfos holds beferish, it's a dimid deraisa, that the Eidim apostle, according to the Rav Chisda, the Eidim apostle, finish, end of discussion. But Tosfos is still not sure just how possible are they. Are they possible with Torah's Vada, and therefore they don't work? They just, they're two bank robbers, we threw them out the window. What do you say, no? They're possible with Torah's Suffolk. Therefore they're not going to work lahaitzi mamun. But they will work lahachzik mamon. So Tosfos is not sure. So Tosfos is blatant Suffolk. 2 days in Tosfos. But lechar conceptually, it's hard to understand the Tosfos. What does Tosfos mean? That they're possible teres vada. What do the words mean? At the end of the day, we're not sure that they're lying. At the end of the day, we only had a 50-50 chance that they were lying. What do you mean they're possible teres vada? How could someone who was only a 50% chance of lying become possible teres vada? If we're not sure the guy who robbed the bank, we're not sure the guy killed someone, we don't know. So you want to tell me that I won't accept the Mikal Lahabla? You want to say there's a 50-50 chance you're lying and therefore me suffering, we won't accept you? That I understand. How can he turn around and say that the pulse of the Torah is vada? How could a suffix turn into a vada? So the Chayyim, the Bir, entices is as follows, that Eidus, by definition, has to be certain. Eidim, the Pishnah made him Yochum Dover. Eidim walk at the Beis Din. They tell us a story, and we're convinced that they're telling us is the truth. Anytime we have a suffix in the Eidus, that's by definition, we throw the Eidus out. Eidus, by its very definition, has to be vados. Whenever there's a suffix in the Eidus, a suffix Eid Kosher is automatically a vada Eid Puzzle. That anytime there's a latest a suffix in the kashas of the Eidim, so it's not a suffix anymore. When there's a suffix in the kashas of the Eidim, it means you don't know that you have honest people in front of you. If you don't know you have honest people in front of you, so then you have an Eidus that's no good. That Eidus is possible. There's vada. A suffix kosher Eid is a psul Eidus. That's a psul Eidus for Torah's vada. So that's a big question in the poskim. Later, Acharonim discussed this based on the Rambam. What would the din be in other sfeikas and other eidus? Let's say you have an eid. We're not sure that he's kosher or not. How come we don't know he's kosher? Let's say we don't know whether he's a man or a woman. We know that a man is kosher for eidus. A woman is psul for eidus. First Gemara in the fourth parak of Shavuos. A woman is psul min atar for eidus. For mamonis, for nefashos, etc. So what's the din if you have a tumtum, an andragonist? You have somebody who's a suffix man, suffix woman. We don't know. So we know there's Mechaz Chinuch Baruch Sefer about Suffolk, Chatzia Bechatz Mechorin, Tumtum, Zadragonis. You have a person who's a Suffolk. So we don't know, is a Suffolk Zach, a Suffolk Nikeva, can we accept him for Eidus or not? So Lamaisa, can we accept him for Eidus? The answer is no. How can he accept he walks in the Beis Din, two Tumtums walk in the Beis Din and they testify that Reuven broke Shimon's window. So we say, we don't know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Because you're a suffix zacha, suffix nikeva, so we don't know what to do. So we're not going to accept this eidus to be melti mamun. But do we say that a tumtum is possible with teres vaday? Or do we say that a tumtum is possible with teres suffix? So it sounds like the same shayla. When you have somebody who's a suffix possibly eidus, does that mean he's a suffix possibly eidus, therefore he remains taka suffix possibly eidus, and maybe he'll work lahaksik mamun? But you say, no, whenever you have a suffix and it was Eidus, so that's automatically possible. Suffix and Eidus is a code phrase for saying he's possible to his vada. So is that the same Shaila? The same way that Tysus has two days in Babakam and Babasra about when you have a suffix Nemon, you have a suffix eight sheker, is a suffix eight sheker possible to his suffix? Or is a suffix eight sheker possible to his vada? Is that the same story? Is a suffix eight sheker the same as a suffix zohar? So the Chor, one can make a big difference between the two. The Gemara says at the end of Bava Basra, at the end of the ninth parak of Bava Basra, that not all psuli eidus are on the same page. There are a lot of people who are psuli eidus for a lot of different reasons. So sometimes a person is psuli eidus, it's exerts a kosef. We have nothing against him. We don't think that he's lying necessarily. We just can't. Technicalities, disqualified on technical grounds. So let's say Lamashal Krovim. So Moshe of Yaron walk into Basin, and they testify together. So the Gemara sets that up as the prototype of two people who, you think we don't believe them? They walk at the Beis and they say, Reuven broke Shimon's window. So we say to them, Mechilas Kveidchem, we can't accept you. Because the Torah says, Krov will possibly aid this. A Karov can't be made for somebody else, for another Karov. A Karov can't be made together with a Karov. So says the Gemara, that's Gzeres HaKosov. We're not Cheshish that they're Meshakrim, which is Gzeres HaKosov. On the other hand, you have other people who, say a bank robber, two bank robbers walk in the base, then they testify. That's just exerce a kosov. That means we really think you're telling the truth, but we can't accept you. Nah, that's ridiculous. That's what we call a chashash mashaker. We're afraid the imam is lying. So some edim apostle because of exerce a kosov, another edim apostle because of a chashash mashaker. And there are enough kaminas ladina. There are enough kaminas ladina between these two different types of psulim. There are sometimes it's not clear what the person is. The Gemara says that let's say you have a person who eats treif. A person is b'chal Shabbos. He's a very honest guy. We never saw him cheat in business. We never saw him rob a bank. We never saw him lie in Bezin. But Lamaisi doesn't eat kosher food. So we pass him that he's possible liedus. That's the question. Does that mean because he's a chashash mashaker? That means we're afraid that if he doesn't have the Torah standards, so then you never know. There's no morality without, no ethics without talacha. I mean, just because the guy seems to be honest, but if he doesn't follow the mitzvah Torah, there's no way of knowing. Maybe he will take a bribe, maybe he will lie in days, and there's nothing that's going to stop him if he doesn't believe in the Baruch Shalom's Torah. That's the reason why he's possible. Or do we say no? You know, Chinami, he's not honest. If he looks like an honest, moral, ethical person, so he's not honest. There's no reason to doubt his honesty in Beis Din, but he's still possible because the Torah says a Rasha is possible. The Eidus, so the guy eats treif. It's called a Rasha and Halacha. Guy's B'chol Shabbos, he's called a Rasha and Halacha. So sometimes it's unclear what the nature of a psul is. Is a psul b'Torah's honesty, or is a psul b'Torah's gezeres hakosuf? But one thing seems to be clear, two things seem to be clear. If you have a guy who was once caught lying in Beis Din, so that's an honesty issue. A guy who's proven to be either a Vaday possible, something possible, we're not sure whether the guy's honest anymore, so that's not a Gezer Sakasa. If a guy was once caught as an 8 Shekel in Beis Din, so we can't testify from here on in, that's not a Gezer Sakasa. That's Pasha, that's obvious, he's a Shakran. Whereas, let's say, the Psul of a woman is Psul of Edus, that's an honesty issue. Most probably not. But Raya, a woman believed in Eich and Embi Surich, she believed in other areas of Allah. That's Exeris HaKosav, Yom Dushnei Anoshim. So you want to philosophize about why is Betaris Tzinias, Betaris this, whatever drush you want to give, why a woman's Psuliatus. But Patachl, she's Psuliatus. Pasha says it's not because she's dishonest. Nothing to do with dishonesty. It has to do with Stam Exeris HaKosav. There is a, be careful what I say on tape. I'm not saying, I'm just quoting the Chizkuni. There's a Chizkuni in Chumash that says that, when Lavan confronts Rachel and says, get up where we're the truffim and look for the truffim. So she lies about she says that she didn't take them, whatever. She says, I can't get up there, Chanashim Li. So the Chizkuni says that you see that that she was lying, and you see that you can't trust the woman is lying, and therefore the woman apostle Yedus. So it's a strange comment of the Chizkuni. But that's not the usual pshat. The usual pshat is that the reason why a woman is psul Yedus is exactly because of haraya, proof positive. Eidach and Bisurin. If a woman tells that she went to the mikveh, she's believed. Eidach and Bisurin. If she really holds the woman's lying, it's not going to a woman, someone who's really lying, someone who's a ganav, someone who's a shakran, so you can never accept them. Rishenken, in the realm of women, clearly it's just Exeris HaKosav. So Kofanim, sometimes the Psul Eidus is Exeris HaKosav, sometimes it's a Chashash B'Shaker. So if the nature of the Psul is Chashash B'Shaker, so then this loveless of Taisus makes sense. When you have a Suffolk Chashash B'Shaker, that's the Psul, that's what Chashash B'Shaker means. Chashash B'Shaker means you're suspecting that he's lying. I don't know that he's lying. Just because he robbed the bank last week doesn't mean for sure he's lying. Maybe he's telling the truth. Maybe Reuven did break Shimon's window. We don't know. So anytime you don't know whether a person may be lying, he automatically becomes possible teres vada. Mashenke, in the case of the tumtum, we're not afraid the tumtum's lying. The tumtum is something zacha, something a keva. There's nothing wrong with being in a keva. There's nothing wrong with being a zacha, nothing wrong with being in a keva. Both of them are honest individuals. It's just as exeris hakosav, shnei anoshim, alo anoshim. So now you have a suffix whether this person is an ish or not. So it's a suffix, he's possible. But it doesn't mean that he's possible with teres v'hadai. It could be that not all sfeikas and chasedis are the same. That if the nature of the suffix is a suffix, it is the amonos, then it becomes possible with teres v'hadai. If the nature of his suffix is a suffix in the gavern, in the exeris hakosav of anoshim and anoshim, then he's only possible with teres suffix, not with teres v'hadai. So Kopanim, we have a little bit of an understanding, hopefully, about the role of Edom. That Edom seems to be really on the top of the pyramid in terms of Nemanis. We spoke about so many different ways of dealing with Sveikis. That's the whole issue of all about what do you do when you have doubts. So we spoke about some of the lower mechanisms that Torah gives us, about Chazokas. Then we spoke about Roves, that Roves beat out Chazokas. Then we got to the point of Edom. Edom seems to be the greatest. Edom is Mavish Kabal. The only thing is, sometimes you can have Edom against Edom. So that's the whole thing of Trey. What do you do when you have contradictions within the Edom themselves? But putting that aside, when you have Edom, if the Edom are kosher, they meet the criteria, they pass the test of Edom Ksherim. So Edom Ksherim, that's the best. You can't get anything better than that. L'chora, not only is that true practically, that Edom are the highest, but in terms of lomdus, l'chora, that's true as well. You know, this hakir that we've been throwing around about what do you, how do you view a chazaka, how do you view a rov? Are these birurs, are these hadhagas? Is the Torah telling us these are the facts? This is the reality? Or is the Torah saying, listen, well, you don't really know what the reality is, but it doesn't matter. Make believe this. Make believe and be knowing the following. So when it came to chazakas, we weren't sure on. We came to roves, we weren't sure on. Rubadisa commands on Lasik. Every possible mechanism that we use to deal with snakes, we keep on repeating the same hakira. But the box stops here. The hakira stops here when it comes to Edom. When it comes to Trey Edom, Pishnai made him Yachim Dover, would anybody ever say that's anything less than a Bura? We're putting somebody to death based on Edom. We're being Matronacious Ish based on Edom. We're being Maitzi Maman based on Edom. How could anybody question that Edom is anything short of an absolute Bura Dover? How could anybody question it? Somebody can question it. Everybody can question it. So there is a Rambam that seems to question it. There is a very cryptic Rambam that seems to, in a sense, take away from the authenticity of Edom, in the sense that the Rambam seems to present that even when you have to Edom, you have 100 Edom, 1,000,000 Edom, you still don't really know the facts. At the end of the day, do you really have a Bira Advarim? Is there really 100% Bira Advarim? No, there's no Bira Advarim. Even Edom falls short of being an absolute Bira. Even Edom has a certain dimension of Anhagar to it, says the Rambam. Where is the context of this Rambam? So one would have expected this Rambam in Chais, in Hilchos Eidus, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in the Mamanis, one would have expected in Hilchos Ishas, in Geirishin, one would have expected the Rambam to make this grandiose statement that Edom are not really the end all. Edom are not really Mavar anything, they're just a Din on Hava. So it's in none of the places above. This Rambam happens to appear in a strange place in Hilchos Yisedi HaTorah. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisedi HaTorah is talking about Kiddush Hashem, and he's talking about all the introductions to Ma'aseh Merkava, Ma'aseh Bereishis. This is the Rambam I'm talking about. Hilchos Yisedi HaTorah. One of the things the Rambam is talking about, Hilchos Yisedi HaTorah, is the mitzvah of listening to a navi. He speaks about the dinim of Nevuah in Hilchos Yisedi HaTorah. So there is a mitzvah that Torah love to shmo, and you have to listen to a navi. So how do you know whether the guy's a navi or not? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says there's a concept called the navi muchzor. But the Navi is Muchsuk Pekach. It means he's already given us Nevuahs in the past. It's Elio and Navi. So he's got a good track record. He gave us a Nevuah. Nevuah came true. He gave us another Nevuah. Everything he seems to be saying, seems to be fitting into what Hilchos Nevuah is all about. So he becomes a Navi Muchsuk. Once a person becomes a Navi Muchsuk, then the mitzvah Elof Tishmon applies to him. And that's when he even has the ability to tell you to violate the Din HaTorah temporarily. If the Navi comes and tells you that he wants to throw a mitzvah out the Torah, says, don't keep Shabbos anymore forever and ever, that's a sign that he's not a Navi Muchsuk, that's a Simon Muvuk, that he's a Navi Sheker, then he's Chayav Mitzvah Beis Din. But if he comes to you and he says, listen, I'm a Navi Muchsuk, you know me for the last 20 years, and now I just got a Nevuah through Mechal Shabbos right now, just this Shabbos, so then you have to listen to him. So that's what the Gemara says. They love Tishmon. That's the story of my Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi Behar Carmel. Eliyahu Navi had a track record for 20 years. Everybody knew he was the Navi. Even Achav knew he was Navi. He wasn't happy about that, but even Achav knew he was the Navi. And then Eliyahu Navi comes and says, I got a Nevuah to bring a carbon b'chutz now. I'm not being oike in the midst of Shchutei Chutz. I'm just telling you to do it right now. So you have to build a bomb in Haifa or Carmel and Shoin. So that a Navi has a right to do. So there's a mitzvah of Elof Tishmol. He's a Navi Muchsuk. So says the Rambam, this idea that someone is a Navi Muchsuk and we know for sure that he's telling us a Nevuah, says the Rambam, how do you know for sure? Maybe now he's lying. He's maybe Eliyahu Navi for the last 20 years was Muchsuk, and now he got a Mishigas. Now he's lying. Possible. So says the Rambam, you never really know. Says the Rambam, you never know. Even he's the greatest Navi Muchsuk in the world, unless you heard the Nevuah yourself, you don't really know that the Navi's telling you the truth. So Elohat. Says the Rambam, even though you don't really know with 100% certainty that the Navi's telling you the truth, that's the mitzvah satorah. Elof tishmol, that's the klal. The same way there's a mitzvah to put on tefillin, mitzvah to keep Shabbos. There's a mitzvah, listen to the Navi Muchsuk. So the Rambam says the mitzvah elof tishmol means that even though you don't really know 100% certain, our bichain, you have to listen to him. Says the Rambam, moshal amad avadoyme. Nobody has to round for the moshal. The Rambam is a moshal. Moshal amad avadoyme. Kishem shechot chenes adin apishnayim edim. The same way that Paskim Shail is based on Shnei Edim. Says the Rambam, do you really know the Edim are telling you the truth? No. It means when the Torah says to listen to the Edim, the Torah is not telling you the Edim are for sure telling you the truth. It's Exeris HaKasu, says the Rambam. The Rambam uses the Lashon. 800 years later in the yeshivas would become the Lashon of Din Hanhaga. It means that concept that the Rosh Yeshivas, the Rabbi Chana, the Rabbi Shimon, the Shvaitzes, everybody uses to describe a Din Hanhaga. The Rambam is using that when it comes to Edus. The Rambam says, you don't really know. But Kishem Shecholches Adin HaPishnayim Edim Af HaPisha Eino Bar Lecha. So too, Elof Tishmon is Mechayev, you listen to the Navi, even though it's not Bar Lecha. You don't really know, you can't really swear on your life that the Navi is telling you the truth. It doesn't matter. That's the Mitzvah Zatar, whether you know, you don't know, whether you're sure, you're not sure, that's the Mitzvah Zatar. So, putting aside that Rambam, that Edus itself is also a little bit shaky, and the general scheme of things, and the general hierarchy of things, Edom is pretty good. Edom is pretty up there. Edom can accomplish things that other areas of Birum and others cannot do. So Edom is more powerful than Rove, and Edom is for sure more powerful than Chazokas, and Edom is the only thing that's necessary, the only thing that will work in many, many areas of Halacha. So the fundamentally three areas of Halacha that you require a Pishnayim Edom are Dinei Nefashos, obviously. That's Pasuk in Chumash many times. Dinei Mamanes, that's also Pasuk in Chumash. And Davashim Erva, things that relate to Kedushin and Geirushin and things of that nature, also for sure require Shnei Edim, that's Gzeira Shavim, says we're Dover by Mamanes, and it says Dover by Arias. So that's Ein Davashim Erva Fachdashtayim, it's a Gemara Mesemes Kedushin. So those are the three areas of Halacha that Edim is all. Nothing short of Edim is going to work. Neither in the realm of Mamanis, nor to be Matsi Maman, nor in the realm of Davashabi Erba, nor in the realm of Din Nefashis. But this really leads us into our next topic. Maybe not as long as the last topic, but leads us into the following question. So, Apishnai made them, and it's Edom, and Edom, and Edom, it's all very nice. So you need Edom for Mamanus, and Edom for Nefashis, and Edom for Dov Shabierva. But the question becomes, what if you have the Baal Dover himself? What if the person himself walks in, and he tells you, listen, I'm telling you that this is what happened. I'm telling you that I broke Shimon's window. I'm not an eight. I can't be made about myself. I'm telling you the facts is I broke Shimon's window and I'm chayav to pay $100. Well, let's say Reuven walks into the base and says, I'm telling you, I killed Shimon. Come on, thank you. I killed Shimon, so I'm testifying about myself that I'm chayav, he says, base. Well, let's say person walks in the base and Rachel walks in the base and says, listen, I'm telling you that I'm an Eshesh. I accept the condition from somebody. So in all three cases, Bezin has nothing to go on in terms of Eidos. On the other hand, they have the word of the person himself. They have what's called an Alacha Dos Bal Din. So what's the Din? What's the Alacha? Can a person testify in a sense about themselves, or do we stick to the details and say, nope, sorry, Afishna made him Yachim Davar, we will not accept what you have to say. So here we have Gemara's many, many places in Shas that speak about the principle of Aldaz Baldin Kibbe Edom Dami, and particularly in the realm of Dinim Omnis. Notwithstanding the fact that you need to aid them, one aid is no good, but if the Baal Dover himself walks in and says, I broke Reuven's window, then the halach is, you have to pay. And the Gemara coins the phrase, Aldaz Baldin Kibbe Edom Dami. Aldaz Baldin is as if 100 Edom testified. So come to Acharonim and say, it's better than, it's a little bit of a misnomer, what Chazal say. It's not really Hodos Baldin Kimei Edom Dami. It's really Hodos Baldin is Yosef Kimei Edom Dami. Because let's say you would have 100 Edom walk into Bezin and say, listen, we were there, we saw, and Reuven did not break Shimon's window. We saw, he tossed the ball against it, but the ball did not break the window. I'm telling you, he didn't break the window. And Reuven walks in and says, I don't care what they're saying. I'm telling you, I broke the window. So Bezin Paskins, it's Chayef. Hodos Baldin is better than Kimei Edom Dami. So you may be wondering, what's the Shaila? If Reuven wants to pay, let him pay. Reuven says, I'm telling you, I'm chayef to pay, I broke the window. Bezin says, okay, pay. And then, so a week later, he says, you know what, I changed my mind. He gave him a right. I don't want to pay now. So tough luck. You were made in Bezin. Hadaz Baldin came made in Dummy. So you have to pay the money, and now we'll force you to pay the money. If you don't want it, we'll take the money away from you. So Hadaz Baldin came made in Dummy is a din, which is more than just Kimei Edom. It's better than Kimei Edom. It's the absolute highest level of Nemanus in the realm of Dinei Mamanus. The question is, where does it come from? What's it based on? What kind of din is this? We've been talking for the last 6 months about Shnayim Edim, Shnayim Edim, Shnayim Edim. So where does Hadaz Baldin come from? So there is a famous Machlekes Acharonim about how to understand the nature of this din of Hadaz Baldin Kineidim Dami. So there is a Shazat Shuvas Hari Ibn Leib, one of the earlier Acharonim. So the Shazat Shuvas Hari Ibn Leib suggests that what Hadaz Baldin Kineidim Dami really means is, we do not accept you. We don't trust you. Apishnai made them. You said you broke the window. That's a meaningless statement in halacha. So why are we making you pay the $100 if we don't trust you? Says the Maribim Leib, what would the din be if I would obligate myself to give you $100? I make a kinyan chalipin with you that I'm hereby obligating myself, mishabbing myself to pay $100. If I would come to Bezin and I would say, I'm hereby obligating from here on in, I didn't break your window, nothing, but I'm going to give you $100. So the din is, if you make a statement that's binding, how do you do that with the kinyan sudah, with the mir biyala, whatever, how do you figure out how to do that? Sometimes a person can open up his mouth, make it obligate himself, and now he becomes chayef to pay. So comes the Maribim Leib, when Reuven walks into Bezin and says that I broke Shimon's window and I owe him $100, Bezin does not believe him. Bezin doesn't trust him. It's not true. We laugh at him. We say, Afishnai made him Yachodov. You didn't break the window. You didn't break the window, but you still have to pay. Because it's no better, no worse than a person who was Meshavet himself to pay the $100. So according to the Maribim Leib, what we're talking about now doesn't really belong in our discussion. We're talking about how to deal with Tzveikis, how does Bezin figure out information. Says the Maribim Leib, Hadaz Baldin Kimei Edom Dami doesn't tell me anything. Hadaz Baldin Kimei Edom Dami is not Mevar anything. It's not a din. It's just his chaimus. It's no better nor worse than a person saying that I owe you $100 as a matana. So immediately you have to give the money. So the Ktzai says he doesn't think it's correct. Ktzai says that that's not what Hadaz Baldin Kimei Edom Dami. How does the Ktzai know that it's not correct? So says the Ktzos, there is a din called Meidah B'Miktzas. If we have a din Torah, I say to you, you owe me $100. And you respond, I don't owe you $100, I only owe you $50. So two things happen at that point. First of all, you have to pay the $50, and number two, you have to make a shvur deraisa. We'll try some sukkim, pashat the shpatim, kihuzet, etc. There's a shvur deraisa called shvur smaydim and miktas. So comes the ktsais and says, what would the din be in the following case? If I say to you, you owe me $100, right? You broke my window, you owe me $100. And you would respond, it's not true, I didn't break your window, you're a liar, but you know what? I'm a nice guy, I want to give you a birthday present. Your birthday's next week, I'm going to give you a $50 birthday present. What's the deal? Would you say, ah, he's a Maidim Mikzas? Now he's got to take a shvu on the rest of the 100? It's a joke. So it's honest. They said, he's a kofer bakol. He is denying the entire claim. He wants to be a nice guy and give me $150 on the side, but that's not the case. Maidim Mikzas means that they're arguing about the etzem claim. I'm saying you owe me 100, and you're responding that you only owe 50. Once you're Maidim Mikzas to that claim, so then the halacha says that you have to take a shvu deraisa. But if you're denying the entire claim, you're just coming from minachutz, you're coming tangentially, you're introducing a new fact, you want to give me a gift, which has nothing to do with my original claim, so that's not called Maidim Mikzas, so you have to give me the $50, and then you don't take a shvu. So says the Ktzais, if the Ma'ariv and Leib is right, that conceptually, every Hodos Ladin Kimei Edom Dami is never really believed. So when the person responds that, no, I only owe you 50, that's tantamount to saying, I owe you nothing, but I'm going to give you 50 as a gift. So says the Ktzais, that wouldn't qualify as a Maidim Mikzas. So if every Hodos Ladin Kimei Edom Dami is not really a nemonis in the claim proper, it's just a Matana Menachutz, it's a Schaivas Menachutz. So how does the mechanism of Maidim Mikzas kick in? So it must be, says the Ktzais, that you want that one on the 50. And when I say you owe me 100, and you say I'm going to give you a 50, what that means is you're believed that you owe 50. So now, that's a response to my claim. I claim you owe 100, you respond, I only owe 50. So based in Paskins, that's 100 to a 50, that's a Maidim Mikzas territory. So the Ktzais argues, based on other reasons, also other ayahs, he doesn't think the Maribel Leib is right. The Maidim Mikzas is not based on a Matonim and a Chutz, it's based on an Etzem Nemonis. Of course, it pushes the question back, so where'd it come from? Don't we know? Apishnai Medim Yochum Dover, Dover Dover Mimaman, Dini Mamanis requires to aid him. Well, how could it be, if Dini Mamanis requires to aid him, so how could it be that the Baal Din himself is going to be believed? So according to Maariv and Leib, he's not believed, it's just a Ischaibas Menachutz, but according to the Ktzels, that it's a real Nemonis, so we have to really understand what the nature of this Nemonis is. Hopefully, that's from next week, we'll try to touch up the Ktzels' understanding of Hodos Baal Din and see how the concept of Hodos Baal Din plays out in other areas of Nefashos and Arayas, etc., how Hodos Baal Din overrides some of the basic law in terms of Shnei Eidim. Okay. Thank you.